Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. We worship a God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is amazing in his very essence. And Junior Soul Live is a little abbreviation that we can use to help us remember the parts of his magnificent essence. So when you think about who this God is we have, Junior Soul Live will help you remember. Well, first, God is justice. Our God is always fair, and there never was nor will there ever be a time when he is unfair. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, part A. No, actually, this is the whole part because I took it out and put it back in. But the rock is what our Lord Jesus Christ is called, the rock. Best to build your house on the rock. That's one of your paintings there, Norbert. Norbert, one of your paintings is a house, so you could say the rock. You know, okay. That house is built on that house is built on the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So that's one part of the essence of our God. He is just. He's always fair. He's judicial in his approach to everything. Righteousness. Our God is completely free from sin and thus completely qualified to handle everything in the matter of sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, we don't have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. He was given all of the same temptations that we are, yet he chose not to engage. Sovereignty. Our God is the supreme being of the universe. No one has higher rank than him. No one has more influence than him. No one can boss him around. He has ultimate say, and he has the last word in all matters. Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. He is the supreme ruler, omnipotent. Our God has all the power. There is no one more powerful than he. Job chapter 42, verse 2 says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Nobody can stop what God wants to do. Omniscience. Our God knows all that is knowable, both the possible and the actual. He knows what actually goes on. He knows what would have gone on if you made different choices. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, part B, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He is omnipresent. Our God is everywhere simultaneously. He is not bound by time or space or limitations. Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14 say, the Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. And from his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. Our God is love. Our God is unconditional love in his very person. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love unconditionally does not know God the Father, for God the Father is unconditional love. Our God is immutable. Our God never changes. He is definite. He never changes his mind or his policies about anything. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, which comes down from God the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God never changes. So when he does your salvation, you can count on it that it will stay done. Veracity. Our God tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if he says it in his word, you can count on it. John 14:6, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. If he says that, he means it, you can count on it. And eternal life. Our God has no beginning and no ending. He has always existed. There never will be a time when he doesn't exist. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were born or before you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are, O God. So welcome to a place where you can worship the one and only God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and where you can know his essence with a tiny abbreviation, Junior Soul Live, J-R-S-O-O-O, Live, the 10 parts of our fantastic God's essence. Well, God loves you, and this song is sung to you from his perspective. The opening song for this lesson is When I Say I Love You.
I am the Lord your God, and I love you so much that I lay down my life. My love, you will always be precious to me. I will never put you away or push you aside. There is nothing good or bad about you that would make a difference in what I have to say. My death has made a way for you to be perfect in my eyes. So no matter what, I'm gonna love you anyway. 'Cause when love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it, we're through. When I say I love you, I know at times you will be untrue, but I won't take my love from you, 'cause when I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, I love you with a love unconditional. It will last for an eternity. My love for you, it's part of who I am, and it flows from my integrity. I can teach you to love unconditionally with the power of the Spirit working in you. So when you've been betrayed, you can still love others like I do if you want to. 'Cause when I say I love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it, we're through. When I say I love you, I know at times you will be untrue, but I won't take my love from you. 'Cause when I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, when I say I love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it, we're through. When I say I love you, I know at times you will be untrue, but I won't take my love from you. 'Cause when I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, love is patient and kind. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not envy or boast. Love forgets a wrong, suffered, it's not provoked, and it does not seek its own. Love rejoices. unrighteousness. It bears and hopes all things. It believes, it endures, it prevails. This kind of love never fails. This is what I say when I say I love you. When I say I love you.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to understand where real power comes from. Help us to pay attention to you. Help us to ignore the powerful and lying suggestions of our enemy. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, is sin more powerful than your will? Is sin more powerful than your will? Yes. Let's just kill the suspense. This is Kill the Suspense Day from the podium of Barah Ministries, from the pulpit of Barah Ministries. Yes, sin is more powerful than your will. So maybe it's something you never wanted to think about, but there is absolutely no doubt that you know that sin is more powerful than your will. You'd like to believe you have self-discipline. You'd like to believe you have willpower to do what you want or to resist the things that you don't want to do. As a matter of fact, some of my favorite people in this life are control freaks, people who think that they can control every single aspect of a thing. And one of the most fun things is seeing all those situations that they get into where they can't control anything or anybody and seeing the look on their face when they finally figure that out. So sin is more powerful than your will. In this lesson, we're going to take a brief look at this phenomenon, perhaps it will help us to understand why the things that the kingdom of death tells us are so much more real to us than things our God tells us. Things like this that God tells us. We died to sin. Why do we believe Satan's identities more than we believe the fact that we died to sin? But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is March 15, 2015. That's the third week in March. And the reason we moved it to the third week is because there's no face-to-face teaching on March 8th. However, the congregation is invited to view the services live on March 6th, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern. Otherwise, they will be on the website for your viewing and listening pleasure at the regular time on March 8th. A reminder, check in on Facebook before church service. And also a reminder, like Barah Ministries on Facebook, there are nearly 2,700 people that have signed up to be a part of our online community. Get your friends to join our online community today. We're going to begin recording on the Facebook lessons on February 23rd from 7 p.m. to 8. That's a change from today. The deacons are clapping, yay, and now I can go and get some sleep, yay. But I'm not ready, but we're going to have those lessons up and running in March. Today we visit the vets at 1:45, from 1:45 to 3. And if you haven't ever done that, I suggest that you come with us. It's a really fun time to be with them. The teen lessons begin February 22nd from 11:30 to 1. That's next week. And in preparation, the teens should read John chapter 1. The next deacons meeting is February 21st at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and we look forward to seeing all of the deacons there for that meeting, which will be fantastic. And now it's time for the offering. Let's take this time to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge, by means of the internet, by means of internet teaching, or by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one of us must do just what we have purposed in our heart and not give grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning, fam. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And last week I talked a little bit about how family represents or symbolizes a lot about our relationship with God. And I wanted to continue a little bit more about how an infant is so applicable to our lives, our attitudes towards unbelievers. You know, they need help like an infant does, like a mother helps, just nonstop caring for the child and looking after them. And I wanted to kind of dig a little bit deeper into that. And I had another thought about it that, as a baby develops, there's a lot of chances to have an opportunity to help them and teach them. Or you could do the opposite and just let them roll around and cry in their crib. And that's kind of what we do with a lot of people that are believers or unbelievers. You know, we don't attend to them and take those opportunities when they have them. We let them pass by, you know, rather than giving the gospel quickly and knowing that you've said it. We think it's just a random opportunity to meet with somebody, but we don't give it. You know, so take advantage of those opportunities. Like when a baby's, you know, when he's up, I would try to, you know, we read to him. We try to challenge him to crawl and challenge him all the time. That's the same with unbelievers. And in the same way, we need to be patient with a baby. We need to be patient with a child or patient with unbelievers because their development is slow. And they're not going to rush to change their life because we think they need to change their lives. They're going to rush to change their life when something bad happens, and they remember the gospel that you gave them. They remember that lifeline. You know, and then to flip it all on its head, you know, we're babies, and God is our parent. The Lord Jesus Christ is our compassionate, caring parent who helps us at all times. You know, when we cry out, he's there. When we make a mess and scuba ourselves, he's there to clean it up. So we need to remember Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So when you guys show up here, you're showing unity, which is a huge thing. You're unifying a support of our pastor, and in doing so, a support of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel through this ministry. So we really appreciate it when you give and of your time, your talent, and your treasure. So thank you very much.
Did you think you could escape without infection? You do all you're able to resist, just to avoid the danger of rejection. To God, the pain that holds them captive, and every smile that they would hide behind, we'll try to mask the hurt beneath the surface. Sometimes it's hard to understand how we're trapped inside. When you think your life is shattered, no way.
Welcome back. Today's study, is sin more powerful than your will? Is sin more powerful than your will? Thanks, Deacon Denny, for a great message. You know, I'm back in the dad game now, so I relate a lot to the things that you're saying. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been good at, both in my fathering and in my career and really in my life, is knowing whether somebody on a path who says they want to get to this end point will get to the end point with the path that they've selected. You know, and with your children, a lot of times they select paths and you sit there and you look at it and you say, well, there's no way in hell they can get to the end point. As a matter of fact, you even know a lot of times that they're going to crash right into a wall. And so as a parent, you want to say to them, look, I've crashed into that wall. I've been on that path. I've crashed into that wall. Would you please listen to me? And you're going to crash into some walls no matter what. But would you please listen to me on this particular matter and not crash into that wall? And you know what kids do. You know, they go, yeah, wow, that's a great point. Yeah, that's great. And then they get right in the car, put their foot right on the accelerator, speed up and crash right into that wall, don't they, girlfriend? So my daughter, by the way, I meant to mention this in the announcements. My daughter has given a verbal acceptance to Washington Adventist University, a basketball scholarship, Division II basketball school. Yay! Yeah, and then now she's getting in her little car, and she's got her foot all the way pushed down to the accelerator to crash and go right over the cliff. I ain't gonna let it happen. Not on my watch. But I'm looking forward to her getting to college and seeing what all the challenges are of being an adult. And most of her teammates are black. I'm looking forward to that, too. So she can start liking black people. That'll be awesome. Yeah. I think it's going to be really good. You're going to get knocked around by black people for 4 years. Quiet as it's kept, Washington, D.C. is a city of black people. It's 98% black. They got the White House there, but that's all I'm talking about. So it's going to be an exciting time for our family. All right, today's study, is sin more powerful than your will? Marketing is the customer attraction discipline. People who engage in the practice of marketing, people whose job it is to get you to want to buy the things that they are selling, will tell you, when they're being honest with you, that you are their secret weapon. They tell you what you want to hear, and you willingly believe it, which makes you their secret weapon. One of my favorite candies is called Chuckles. These irresistible jelly candies are coated with a light layer of sugar. Started drooling a little bit. And they come in cherry, lemon, lime, orange, and licorice. I don't like the licorice one, so it's kind of terrible because I always have to throw the licorice one away because I don't like licorice. It'd be nice if I had a friend who liked licorice. But they are yummy. Do you? Do you like? Okay, good. So you will be my Chuckles buddies from now on. So why do I buy so many Chuckles? Because right there on the label, on the Chuckles package, it says exactly what I want to hear, fat-free. Now, you can laugh at me if you want, but don't you do the same thing every time you go shopping? Don't you look for the things that are farm fresh? What does that even mean? Because if you saw the farm where some of this freshness is going on, you would be very afraid. Don't you buy things that are 100% natural? What does that even mean? That expression has absolutely no meaning yet to us when we hear it. Oh, it's natural. Oh, it's natural. And that's the way the kingdom of death works. You know, they just say stuff to us and we just adopt it. Oh, it's farm fresh. Oh, it's 100% natural. Oh, it's fat-free, the fat-free candy. Fat-free until it gets in your body. Marketers will tell you, when they are being honest, that their job is to lie to you, and they tell you that they will tell you that you are their secret weapon. Marketers know what you know as well, but will probably not admit, not even to yourself, that the marketer's secret weapon is the power of your willful ignorance. The marketer's secret weapon is the power of your willful ignorance. Because let's face it, when you are on that road that's going right into that wall, you know you're on that road. You're not fooled. I mean, deceived has a lot of meanings. And one deception is something that catches you totally by surprise. How many times is it that really, that the things that happen to us catch us totally by surprise? Not much. You knew it was going to happen. You were just keeping your fingers crossed, hoping it wasn't going to happen to you. Maybe this time I'm going to be the one to get away with it. It's not going to happen to me. You ain't going to be the one to get away with it. The marketer's secret weapon, the power of your willful ignorance. Marketers know that you are willing to ignore the truth and to believe the lie. Let me let you in on a little secret. Come in real close. Come here. You see, I know that chuckles are not fat free. I know that when you eat chuckles, it turns into sugar in your body and is stored as fat. Don't tell anybody, though, because I want to be deceived. I want to think that it's healthy, and I want to believe what they write on the back, fruit flavors, and I want to believe it's fruit. You know, an orange chuckle is just like an orange. It's no different. Cherry chuckle is just like a cherry. What is licorice chuckle like? I don't even know. How about the expression, anything in moderation? We know that's a crock of baloney. Is adultery in moderation okay? Is crack cocaine in moderation okay? Of course not. But we sure do love saying it when we're talking about something we want to do, which we know is not good to do, so that we can justify it in our minds. We want to see what we can get away with. We already know the answer to that. What can we get away with? Nothing, especially if you're a believer in Christ. If you wanted to get away with something, you shouldn't have believed in Christ. Jesus Christ is not going to let you get hurt. He'll let you run your head into a wall a few times, but he's not going to let you be hurled headlong. He says it in his word. We have many expressions to dismiss the truth. It's all good. It's all good. No, it isn't. It isn't all good. But marketers hope to keep you believing that everything is good. I'd love to see the world for a day stand up against the lies we put up with every day. You know that movie where for one day you can kill anybody you want to kill? And Alyssa's looking at me like, I wish this was that day today. You know. But yeah, it's kind of bad when you're the daughter of a pastor. I mean, it's just the way it is. You got to come. You got to take all this abuse. It's just that way. But how about a movie where just for one day we all stood up against the lies and protested? That would be a beautiful movie. Because this world is filled with those it's all good lies that just don't cut it. Well, after a break, we'll connect this look at willful ignorance, the willful ignorance phenomenon, to our current study of Romans chapter 6. Take a 5-minute break. Thank you. Welcome back. We died to sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we believers in Christ say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we believers in Christ, such ones as we, royalty, the children of a king, who died to sin as an established fact at the moment of our salvation, still live in sin as if sin is still our master? We died to sin, so sin is no longer our master. This is an established and irrevocable fact and has been from the moment that we were saved. You keep on sinning, though, after salvation, so you've got to ask yourself, why do I keep on sinning after salvation? That's the question that pastors obsess over. Why does my congregation keep sinning after salvation? Why does my congregation, when they see a course of action, being a course of action that is absolutely not going to be supportive of them, that they are not going to succeed at, that nobody in life has ever succeeded at, why do they go down that path? Well, why? Because it's much easier to believe the lies than it is to believe the truth. It's much easier to believe our own deception of ourselves than it is to believe the truth. And the sad conclusion we must come to because of that is that sin is more powerful than our will. We are weak to sin. Maybe we need something, maybe we need to hang out with more recovering alcoholics. Because they know sin is more powerful than their will. That's why a recovering alcoholic will not take a drink. They know that when they take one, it's over. They know. Maybe we need to hang out with them more. Maybe all of us good people, you know, the ones who aren't alcoholic, the good people, maybe we need to hang out with them so that we aren't so deceived. Remember Galatians chapter 5, verse 1? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't subject yourself again to the yoke of slavery. That calls you to a high principle and a high purpose, freedom. You have the freedom, but don't use your freedom against yourself. It's a really simple idea. Here it is, slave or free. If you aren't free, you're a slave. If you reject your freedom, you become a slave. And what does that mean? Well, you were under the law. You were under the law. Now you're under grace. So what are you going to live in? You're going to live the law, or are you going to live under grace? Well, what do most people do? They want to go back to the law. They want to be religious, legalistic, lascivious, the three lifestyles that Satan has to offer. They don't want the responsibility of the life that is free. You were in prison. You were in prison when you were an unbeliever. And now you have been redeemed from prison. Your papers have been purchased by Christ. He unlocked the cell and let you out. Sin was your sovereign. Sin was the king of your world. Adam's sin was the king of your world. And now sin is no longer your sovereign. You were in Adam, and that's who you took your instructions from. And now you're in Christ. What does that mean exactly? It means that as someone who is a believer in Christ and in Christ, you should take your direction from Christ. But what do we like doing? We keep going back to the past, to Adam. We keep going back to the past, to all the old things. I can't believe I've trained over 100,000 adults in my lifetime. in my other career. And I can't believe how many times they tell me that why the decisions they're making today are decisions that they made from their childhood. Cannot believe it. You were stupid when you were a kid. Why are you still holding on as an adult to decisions you made as a kid? Oh, well, I was traumatized as a kid. And so today, I'm real cautious because I might get traumatized again. No, you were victimized when you were a kid. Now you're an adult. And that attitude that you have about the victimization when you were a kid, whatever it happened to be that you emotionalized, you're an adult now. You can make a different decision for yourself. You don't have to be victimized by that anymore. Well, see, my mom said, my horoscope, you don't have to live your life that way anymore. But we do. Why won't we just let that go? Because the lies are so much easier to believe. Freedom is so much more responsibility than that. So we go back to Adam for instruction. Hey, Adam, I got this lady I like. What would you do in this circumstance? Well, I don't know, but what I just do is this. All right, we say, okay, thanks. Thanks, and we run away. But we didn't ever ask that question. Hey, Adam, how'd that work out for you? Oh, it didn't. It didn't work out at all. But that's what I did. So we get our advice from human beings who do things, and it never works out for them. But then we never go to Christ. Because when we go to Christ, Christ says, look, don't do that. Do this instead. Why? Well, you want to do that thing that I don't want you to do, you want to do that. Don't do that because it's not going to work out for you. Do this, it'll work out for you. And he's telling the truth. And we go, yeah, I see what you mean. You know what I mean? Why do we do that? Sin is more powerful than our will. We can't resist doing the stupid thing. Here's what the Bible says about you believers in Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. God the Father rescued us believers in Christ from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulled us out of the domain of darkness, which is in Adam, and put us into the domain of light, which is Christ. Said another way, we are no longer slaves. We are now sons. We are no longer in the domain of darkness. We are in the kingdom of the beloved Son. We're in the kingdom of light. And what do we want to do? We want to run right back to the dark. Do you believe this thing that God has said to us? That you are no longer in the domain of darkness. You are now in the kingdom of light. Do you believe it? The marketer's secret weapon is the power of your willful ignorance. That explains why the chairs in Barah Ministries are often empty. If we want to pack this place, I have always known that all I have to do is start lying. All I have to do is start teaching that if you don't give 10% of your income, you're going to go to hell. That's all I have to do. You think I'm kidding. But you know right now that there are churches all over this area, all over the country, who are teaching lies to people and who are teaching them the law. And who are putting them under bondage to the law when we are no longer under bondage to the law. And they are packing the place with their legalistic, disgusting, religiosity, creating lascivious people who are dying to violate every rule that they're talking about. But the people just keep going back to it. Why do you keep going back to that? Well, I go back to it because I want my kids to have values. What values? What values do you want your kids to have? You want them to have the values of running themselves into brick walls? What values? They're not teaching values. They're teaching lies. But we love it. All of us, I'm not just talking about them, we do too. We love it. Never underestimate the power of willful ignorance. The deep, deep, deep desire that we have all the way down in the very bowels of ourselves to ruin ourselves with a crazy thought. Alyssa's new university has a curfew. Can you even believe that? You got to be in bed at 11 o'clock. Now, that's not unusual for an athlete, though. But the university has a curfew. Is it the whole university? Yeah, that's not unusual for an athlete because when you're on a basketball team and you're on the road, you got to be in your room at a certain time. You got a curfew. It's just the way it is. You know, that's what one of the great things about being an athlete is that you have rules that save your life. But they have a curfew. So Alyssa and I are talking about it. And I said, that's awesome, Alyssa. She gives me the face. Yeah. I said, no, seriously, that's awesome. Why is that? Because nothing good happens between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. You know, Alyssa, old man, you know, go teach church, huh? Tell that crap to those old people at church. I don't want to hear any of that crap. Now, does Alyssa know that when I was a freshman at Northwestern University, I had a friend who was a wonderful woman? Did not drink, did not smoke, did not go to parties. And she finally decides, I'm going to go to a party. And who'd she go with? Me. So we get to the party, a frat party. We separate. We say, we'll meet back at the end of the night. I'll walk you home. Long story short, found her dead in the coat room. Somebody had talked her into ingesting cocaine. She had a heart attack and died. And if you guys have ever heard of Len Bias, who was a basketball player that was drafted by the Boston Celtics, his number was retired by the Boston Celtics. He never played a game for him. It was the same exact situation. See, Alyssa doesn't know that I've had that experience. And it happened about 1 in the morning. Alyssa doesn't know that I have friends who were date raped at Northwestern after 11 o'clock. She didn't know that. And I didn't tell her either. So, you know, that'd be a good reason why she didn't know. I was just talking from my experience. In Phoenix, Arizona, between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., every Friday and Saturday night, 1/3 of the drivers on the road are drunk. So if you've ever been out during those times and you wondered why you see woo, 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 that is when Arizona gets most of its income. DUI, DUI, DUI. DUIs are minimum 10 grand. You get about 100 of those a weekend, that's pretty good revenue for the state. I didn't tell her any of that stuff. I told her about 10 to 2, but. Yeah. You know what my dad used to say? You don't get old being no fool. That's true. So, you know, when you love somebody, like I love Alyssa, you don't want her to get hurt. You want her to follow the guidelines. You want her to take great advantage of her freedom. You know what I mean? But shut up, old man. You know, go teach. I don't want to hear any of that crap. I can't wait till the first time curfew hits so I can sneak out the back. Yeah, but Alyssa, you know, when I was 8 years old, I did that. I sneaked out the back. My mom told me not to leave the yard. That was my curfew. Don't leave the yard. I sneaked out the back. I got hit in the head with a baseball bat 24 stitches later, and I thought I was going to die. Yeah, but that's not going to happen to me. You were just stupid. You still are. Old man, just go teach. We are not slaves. We are sons. We are not in the domain of darkness. We've been transferred to the powerful kingdom of the Son of God, a magnificent light. But never underestimate the power of your willful ignorance. See, the kingdom of death has things that are more appealing than the truth. We want to be lied to, and we want to be told what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. At least most people do, not you guys. Repeat after me. I want to be told what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. One more time, less stiff this time, because you were kind of stiff on that. You didn't want it to come out. I want to be told what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Yeah, that's why you have me as a pastor. Because I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. If it hurts your feelings, so be it. We died to sin. That is a cause for celebration. We can look sin squarely in the eye, and we can say to sin, sin, you may be more powerful than my will, but you are not my boss. You may be more powerful than my will, but you are not my boss. Christ is my boss. You can say that because at the moment of salvation, you were permanently transferred, permanently, by an immutable God who never changes, permanently transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and you cannot go back to the kingdom of darkness even if you want to. You can go listen to it. You can stand at the window with your face pressed against the glass and listen to its suggestions, and you can even execute some of those suggestions, the deeds of the flesh. But you have been transferred into the kingdom of the magnificent God and his powerful light, and you can't get out. So why do you bother listening to those lies when sin is no longer a master over you? It's because we always want to go back to the past. We always want to go back to what we are familiar with, even if it's lousy for us. The marketer's secret weapon is the power of your willful ignorance. We died to sin, and we don't want anything to do with that idea. Our old relationship with sin has been broken once and for all. Sin is no longer sovereign over you. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to a bunch of Jewish people who believed he was the Son of God but did not believe in him, which is dramatically different. I believe Jesus existed. I believe he was the Son of God. Do you believe in him for eternal life? Do you believe he was God? Do you believe in him for eternal life? No. John chapter 8, verse 31 and following. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, not believed in him, but believed him, if you continue in my word, the gospel message, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you're in bondage right now. But if you believe the truth of the gospel message, faith alone in Christ alone, it will set you free. Their arrogance was stimulated by such a claim. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. They were enslaved for 430 years to the Egyptians. We have never been enslaved to anyone. Yeah, what about Egypt? How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly always means a contentious point of teaching that will be contentious for all time. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. What does that mean exactly? It means that you are the slave of whatever or whomever you listen to. John 8:35, the slave does not remain in the house forever, and the son does not remain in the house. The son does remain in the house forever. That's a reference to Ishmael and Isaac. The slave son, Ishmael, does not remain in the house forever. He was an unbeliever and produced a line of unbelievers. But the believer's son, Isaac, does remain in the house forever. He was transferred to the kingdom of light. So if the son makes you free, and he does, you will be free indeed. Except when you prove the marketer right. Except when you prove the marketer right. The marketer says you are the secret weapon of marketers. And the marketer's secret weapon is the power of your willful ignorance. Sin is more powerful than your will. So now that you realize this, when you're weak, who are you going to call? You're not going to call Ghostbusters. When you're weak, who are you going to call? Christ. You see, what is it that we, you know, I just took away your blankie, right? I just took away your blankie. If you believe that your will is strong, I just told you it isn't. Your will isn't more powerful than sin. All these forces in the world. So that takes away your blankie. So what are you going to do now? Go to Christ. Because everything we're learning, that's what Christ wants you to get. You're not strong. You can't do it on your own. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, including resist sin. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Sin is more powerful than your will. So, who are you going to call? Christ. Your baby's sick. You don't know what to do. Who are you going to call? Christ, talk to, hey, you gave me this baby. Now you're going to let the baby get sick? Shut up. I know what I'm doing. Babies have to get sick so they get an immune system, but the baby's not going to die. Just relax. Relax. Your kid's going to get sick until your kid's 5 years old, and then after that, they're never going to be sick again. Relax. They got to get the immunity going. Your wife's going to get a gnarly thing on her hand and have surgery and then be having her hand up for 2 weeks. Can't drive. Just relax. I got this covered. Yeah, but what about the rash on her arm? Shut up. I just want her to see she's a whiner. Just relax. Calm down. But what about my daughter? There's no hope for her. All right, that's what I was thinking. What about my daughter's buddy? He's the man. I got big plans for him. But what about my singer? Again, you know, I can't help everybody. although there was a text message from Dallas today with a picture of you that said, June is killing it. So congratulations for that. All right, so look. Sin is more powerful than your will. And now that you realize that, now that you know why it's so hard for you to listen to the truth, just go to Christ. Just throw up your hands and go to Christ. He's waiting for you with his arms wide open. Just go to him and all your problems are going to be solved. You don't ever have to solve another one of your problems again. A really man. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way to salvation. I'm the truth through the word of God, and I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, but he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but instead the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. The closing song, Demonstrated Love.
You'll never know a love like God's love. A love that meets the deepest need. A perfect love that's unconditional. The same. has never faded. Love, he demonstrated love, uncomplicated love that came to save us on the cross. Christ demonstrated undying love. He came from heaven in humility as fully God and fully man to show a love so kind and gentle.
Got it? Cool. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for helping us to realize our real situation, to understand that we're not more powerful than sin. But by recognizing that, we can recognize that you're more powerful than everything and that in you, we are strong. Because divine power is perfected in our human weakness. And so, I pray that all the people who heard this message will ask you a simple question on a regular basis. And that is this: Father, is the path that I'm on going to lead me to the destination that I want to get to? And if they listen to you and the answer is no, I pray that they choose to listen to you, to follow you, to get on the narrow road that you provide, that narrow road to life. I ask these things through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.